Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, your DJ for tonight has spent hours setting up his lights. He spent ages performing sound checks, and he's refrained from touching the buffet. Yet, he's keeping reasonably sober and is prepared to play just about anything you care to ask for. Get ready for a very special night and party celebration.
And is it just me, or do we have like some echoing going on there?
There might be a bit. I think it's just that pothead Stimmy breathing on the microphone.
Stimmy, quit breathing. There you go.
We'll check back with him later.
Only worry about it if he starts to turn blue.
When you hear the dead thud, third color gets tickets to the foreigner.
The third color gets to come over and kick the body. Indeed. Yes, indeed. Indeed.
Yes, I am a huge goddamn pothead.
As
yeah,
we welcome,
little Bill is wrecked this evening.
Stimmy's not only his nickname, it's his lifestyle.
All I need is some fucking booze. But I'm not allowed to do that because I got to drive. Which I don't even recommend right now.
Well, we'll keep you entertained, sir. We're gonna run through it because we've only got an hour and we've got a lot to talk about.
All righty then.
Indeed.
Let me just grab my nuts and sit back.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, this is the first show in August, the absolute hottest fucking month on the planet.
Yeah, it was like goddamn Ethiopia hot today, man. I felt like, you know, Sally Struthers should have been doing a PSA behind me.
Cereal and steak and cheese and all that, and then they just get rice.
Because I don't mind it when it's hot, man. I don't mind it being hot at all. But when it's this fucking hot, even the bags of skank that are, you know, like wearing bikini tops and shit like that, even them are staying in. They better just feel like saying, oh, fuck, I'll just take the ass beating today.
What was that joke I heard? The best part about dating a panda is nobody will notice the black eyes.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, you get that panda sex, too.
To give you an idea, Mr. Jingles, when I was on my way home from work at 7:30 this evening, it was 102 degrees with a 113-degree heat index.
The crops were drying up before my very eyes.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yes, indeed.
So hot, I think I'm sterile now.
And for some reason, every fucking driver in the metropolitan Louisville area was out on the road today.
Of course.
Like, what, none of you idiots called in today? I don't have a choice, but no, you sons of bitches are lazy.
And for those of us that burn easy, this was a day to avoid.
Oh, yeah.
Indeed.
I'm sure Seamus had his black paint on. And he was still hiding under the covers in a dark room with the shade thrown in the blank of the window.
With ice blowing on the fan.
Wednesday, not that bad, but...
No, shameless.
You're close. But this is Wednesday, August 4th, ladies and gentlemen.
Jesus, sunburned from a light bulb.
We're going to be talking tonight about, briefly, about Bobby the Brain Heenan's health. He had some incidents recently. Also, I lost my voice for a minute there. Raw's 900th episode is upon us in a few weeks.
Big deal. I'm coming up on 160.
And also some rumors of a new WWE logo, Samoa Joe's suspension, and TNA's Fight Card show, because the first rule of Fight Card is you don't talk about Fight Cards. And, of course, tonight...
Oh, my God. Does that mean... my God, it becomes so clear. Does that mean Eric Bischoff is really Hulk Hogan's, you know, alter ego?
Only in the Matrix.
Hogan's on a plane back from Japan, and he realizes, oh, God, I'm Eric Bischoff.
Just wait till he finds his purpose and starts assimilating everybody.
And we're also, ladies and gentlemen,
resistance is futile.
The return of the four-corner conversation. I ask
you,
gentlemen.
And I'll be honest with you right off the bat. I'm phoning it in.
You have failed, sir. You've had a week.
I stood at home. I'm going to stand at home plate and watch three strikes go right the fuck on by without even moving that bad.
I was waiting on a good pitch.
I noticed them.
Our topic tonight, of course, is our own personal top 10 favorite Shawn Michaels matches. So it should be interesting. I want to see if you guys remember some of the ones I found, and maybe you'll surprise me with a couple of yours.
Shawn Michaels versus Tony Leone. Seen that one on ESPN Classic a couple times.
I will say this, though. I do have an honorable mention, so we'll get to that one a little bit later.
Indeed.
So, of course, and we've got some outstanding weird news because it's been a weird week. So all that in 60 seconds.
It's not a tumor.
The static may be in my lines because it's been so hot today here. It's probably melted the freaking phone lines out.
Oh, my God.
The interwebs are ablaze with heat.
I swear to God, I left the house 6'2", and I came back 5'11".
Oh, see, that's why you missed the house.
Oh, man.
But you're
back. It wasn't that bad for me. I mean, I was in my car all day, and, you know, my car got air conditioning because I'm a civilized goddamn American.
Yeah, not one of the third world toilets.
Give me my guns, give women pro-choice, and give me air conditioning. That's the only three things we need for a good democracy anymore.
Yeah, well,
they fucked everything else up. Just give us air conditioning and guns.
Weed.
Weed. Thank you. I forgot weed.
Yeah.
I smoked so much weed, I forgot about the weed that I'm holding in my fucking hand.
Yeah.
But you reminded me, I saw the commercial of the day for
but
the
I'm sorry,
weed
this isn't the 11 o'clock hour yet.
I saw the commercial the other day for the Weed Man Lawn Service, and I was like, is that really the best name you guys could came up with?
You know, it's just 5 stone Mexicans in a rented van.
Like, well, what we can do is we can get rid of all of the weeds. We can get rid of all the crabgrass, make your lawn look great. And for an extra fee...
We'll knock up your dog.
Yeah. Because I see it eyeballing me. But yes, indeed, this is your ringside seat. What's going on in the world of professional wrestling and so much more coming to you in living radio color. I'm your host, P.B. Dingles, joined by probably uncalled for host, Dr. Thomas Keister, and special guest tonight, Stimmy.
The exceptionally
stoned Stimmy. The ESS, the exceptionally stoned Stimmy. And, of course, 646-595-4080 is the line if you want to talk. But we're going to jump right into it. A legend, ladies and gentlemen, one of our all-time favorites, and one of the most influential men in the business of professional wrestling, Hall of Famer Bobby Heenan, had some rough last several weeks. He fell and broke his hip. Then while he was in rehabilitation, he slipped and suffered a broken shoulder as well as a fractured hip.
That's some bull right there.
And he'll be going into surgery August 4th. He's close. He did have to pull out of the NWA Legends fan convention that he was scheduled for. So we do wish here at Fury Media the best for the living legend. Fuck
and now,
Francisco. Bobby Heenan's living legend, I'm sorry.
And now, because he would want it this way, here's a great joke at his expense. When he fell, he had his medical embrace and said, "Give me help."
Yes, Bobby Heenan, one of the all-time greats.
And in a follow-up joke, when medical help arrived, all they did was take the duffel bag of $10,000 away from him and start throwing it out to the crowd.
Because you can imagine the one-liners he came up with when he fell.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
This means no handy tonight.
No. Where's Gorilla Monsoon when you need it? Not any big WWE news to talk about because there, you know, SummerSlam's coming up.
I was going
to
say one last one real quick. In a sad note, Michael Cole said, "Vintage Heenan."
Vintage Heenan.
Thanks, Cole.
Ham and eggers. But, of course, Raw, the longest running episodic television show in television history. Thank you for pointing that out 15 times on Monday. We'll be celebrating its 900th episode on the 30th of August.
Damn.
And where else but the TD Garden in Boston.
Talk Boston.
Stars from SmackDown will also be appearing on that show. And the main event right now that's being advertised is Randy Orton versus Sheamus versus John Cena. Because you knew we couldn't have a 900 Brawl without Cena being all over it.
Well, they got a movie to push now, so you know he's going to be all over Raw.
And from what I've seen in that movie, he pushes a bunch of kids, too.
Like Oprah on a fallen animal when no one's looking.
Mine.
I saw the trailer Monday night on Raw. And,
Legendary.
And I do believe Danny Glover is officially too old for this shit.
I'm too old for this shit, Cena.
I'm like, man, I think we could have seen this as a TNT original or something. I feel no need to clog the theaters with this.
That's not very nice to say.
Well, I mean, Austin's movies are going direct to DVD. Why waste advertising dollars on something you know ain't going to make $1?
Hey, there's a lot of pointless people in this world.
This movie won't even make
movies too.
This movie won't even make peso one.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of drugs down there.
Not enough to make me go see that.
No, I don't think I'll be checking out.
John Cena is a hardened ex-con teaching his brother to wrestle for the high school team. Oh, bullshit. He stole his mama's pain pills and made a run for the border, violating his probation and sending the highway patrol after him. That's how this shit really goes down.
No, he's a Marine that went AWOL.
Oh, is that what it was? Oh,
no,
so
I'm just
political
message. No, I'm making that up.
Thank God.
I'm just having fun with it. But WWE... In an attempt to get further and further away from tradition, or as we call it, or the word kayfabe, which kayfabe is no longer going to be used on this word, and we'll explain that later. But at Wednesday's SmackDown television taping, and this is a spoiler alert, I hate to do it, but it's necessary for the story. Back in Texas, which will air next Friday, Dolph Ziggler defeated Kofi Kingston to become the new Intercontinental Champion because, unlike Rey Mysterio, Mr. Kingston understands that in this business you have to lay down every once in a while.
Oh, like they gave him an option. Ray, you want to lose? No. Okay.
Now, though the title switch has yet to be officially acknowledged by the WWE, Ziggler is nonetheless working as the belt holder during the company's ongoing tour of Australia. Okay, wait a minute. So he drops the belt, and it hasn't been recognized, but you're going to go ahead and put it on him anyway.
He's going to defend the belt in Australia. So everybody in Australia is going to think he's the Intercontinental Champion. Nobody in this country is going to know anything until Friday.
Yeah.
If they decide to do it.
What the hell's wrong with them? What the hell's wrong with them? And a member of the WWE Universe, I hate saying that. Oh, goddamn, I can't stand that.
Just say a WWE fan.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah. Posted a picture of a possible new logo. He claimed he knew this because of a friend of his who works in production with the WWE, and he posted photos of himself with numerous wrestlers and backstage at WWE events to try and prove it.
Yeah, I can get past security, too. What's your fucking point?
Now, this post has since been removed from the WWE Universe site. Is it real or is it fake? You can decide. The image is actually on my Facebook, facebook.com/DarylMays, and it's a throwback to the old blocky late 80s, early 90s WWF, but it's like PG rated, if you could put it that way. Looks like it's safe for children under 3 to play with. I swear to God, that's what it looks like.
It looks like it looked great stamped on a LJN rubber wrestler's ass from like the late 80s.
Now, of course, it is unknown if this is legit, but rumor has it they've been playing around with a new logo and have been talking about debuting it on the 900th episode of Raw. So we may see something.
Looks like one of those lick and stick tattoos.
Looks like something you put a couple of quarters in the machine. And
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it. It looks a little too poorly shopped for my taste.
But don't be surprised.
Oh, nothing they do surprises me anymore ever since they let K-Fed on Monday Night Raw.
That's true.
By God, that just means I have a shot at getting on Raw before I die.
Yeah, that's
all I have
to
do is, flash my junk getting out of a car, and I'm made.
It's like, oh, there's my crotch. There's my crotch. Now, I'm putting the link to my Facebook page in the chat room.
Because you're
right
an attention whore.
Yeah. Yes, I do. And I believe, yes, Mike, are you there?
Oh, yes, I'm here, gentlemen. I'd like to see which kid used the crayon to come up with that logo. That's all I want to know.
This little Hunter Jr.
Lawrence Woggle.
That would not surprise me.
Lawrence Woggle's not allowed to have anything sharper than a soft-boiled egg.
Now, see, and Dave, another Dave in the chat room said at least KFA didn't want a belt. Don't give him any ideas.
Yeah, see, now you've opened
it. You just jinxed it, you son of a bitch.
Don't give him any ideas.
I'm not prepared to see Seth Green as the U.S. champion.
Because he's mediocre.
KFA,
no,
probably
like Seth MacFarlane or something.
Camp.
He won the Divas Championship.
Well, it wouldn't give that belt any more prestige than it already has. But
I said it before, you shine up a turd, all you have is a shiny turd.
And you gotta turn it sideways. Anyway, Samoa Joe suspended from TNA. And
fuck Samoa Joe. I used to be impressed, but after about 17 failed pushes, I'm like, who gives a fuck?
Well, I have to
get on a treadmill.
I have to kind of agree with
a sit up.
I can't agree with Samoa Joe on this. He was upset following his match recently with Jeff Hardy on Impact, which ended in a time limit draw. Now, the report has that he blew up backstage, falling about because he felt the finish was given away by TNA by having ring announcer Jeremy Borash say there were 30 seconds remaining when Joe asked them not to do that. Now,
hey, sir, don't make me job.
He wasn't on hand for the tapings recently in Orlando.
Got to work ethic with a dead man.
And I can't really agree with you. If you're going to have a time limit on a match on television, traditionally, they have always announced when there was a minute and 30 seconds left.
Yeah,
that's not really,
what the announcer does.
Yeah, that's not really giving away the finish of a match. If you say there's 30 seconds left, it's designed to hype the crowd up a little more and get you motivated to pull out all the stops to get that three, and it always ends the same way. The guy goes with the cover, one, two, ring, 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 the bell.
And, you know, it's kind of a throwback because, you know, it's really only done in smaller venues. Kind of like the one TNA broadcasts in.
Right.
I mean, yeah, you don't see it on Monday Night Raw because, well, 16,000 people really don't give a fuck how long is left in the match. There's, you know, concentrating on trying to get the vendors' attention to get their next $6 beer because they want to ignore the fucking Divas match.
$6? What is it on sale?
They had a coupon.
Yeah, it was a Senior Wednesday coupon. but I really can't agree with Samoa Joe on this because that's the way it works. There's a little. That's how it's always worked on a time limit match. Time limit matches never end anyway, except a draw. Really, every once in a while they'll end, but honestly, when the announcer has 30 seconds left, there's not going to be a winner. It just doesn't work like that. And I do like Tara's fat ass about the new WWE logo, if it's actually the one that's posted, it looks like Play School approved. Like I said, it's safe for children under three to enjoy. But TNA also is pulling out a new special, a special TNA Impact event, August 12th, and it's being...
They're grasping at straws is what they're doing now.
It's called Fight Card, and it was originally slated for a pay-per-view. It will telecast a special Wrestling Impact episode, Thursday the 12th, featuring the biggest names and Jeff Hardy. now, this special TNA Thursday Night Impact features a lineup of matches originally slated for the Hard Justice pay-per-view, but that card was moved to Spike TV after Dixie Carter and the Extreme Original Tommy Dreamer announced that it would be a Hardcore Justice pay-per-view. Now, the change to Hardcore Justice provided them with the opportunity to take the original pay-per-view card and move it to free television. So,
which they do every week anyway.
Exactly. Now, some of the matches that they have showcased are RVD taking on Abyss for the world title, Kurt Angle taking on AJ Styles, Angelina Love versus Madison Rayne for the Knockouts title. Jeff Hardy has an open challenge. I think I want to show up. Well, you're not a wrestler? No, I'm just here to beat the fucking shit out of you. And all these people behind me want a shot, too. The Pope taking on the Blueprint Matt Morgan, taking on Mr. Anderson in a triple threat. Beer Money taking on the Motor City Machine Guns. If it's needed, it'll be a World Tag Team title match. And Inc. Incorporated taking on Generation Me for the number one contenders match for the World Tag Team titles. That freaks me out. A wrestling card in 2010 that has not only a tag team title match, but a number one contenders for tag team titles, and they're all tag teams.
Dun, dun, dun.
Let me pinch myself, because I just don't believe it.
They'll fuck it up somehow.
I hope not.
Both tag team matches will last 3 minutes and 18 seconds combined.
Well, they'll just put them all together. And we're joined by another Dave.
We are indeed.
What's up?
Dave!
This place is filling up with Canadians.
How's it going, eh?
And others.
You got an issue with that, you hoser?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now, we're about 9 minutes away, gentlemen, before we get into our four corners. But I got a little bit more TNA news. Remember Mr. Scott Flash Norton?
Yes, this is depressing to me.
He has suggested to TNA President Dixie Carter on Twitter that she bring him in as her bodyguard, saying, "I really think you need a bodyguard and that I would be the perfect candidate for the job." He's 52, he resides in Nashville, and does not consider himself retired as he is currently accepting booking requests.
But nose breathing on the mic.
It's said that in 2010, Scott Norton's taking booking gigs to his Facebook page.
No, the sad part is, to me, is this man was IWGP World Champion. He was somebody in Japan, and this is what he's been reduced to. I know he wasn't that impressive in WCW. They didn't, you know, utilize him correctly.
But he was a bad motherfucker.
Needs the both legs.
Oh no, not Scott Norton. Scott Norton would crap a both legs.
Mm-hmm.
He's built like an elementary school.
he is a bad motherfucker, let me tell you. He don't play around. But also, Impact last week scored a 1.22 cable rating. That's the highest since February 18th.
Hold on, Stemmy looks a little confused here. To give you an idea, Scott Norton's built like a boss in a video game.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Kind of like Bane from Batman.
There you go.
Yeah.
See, that makes more sense to me than he's built like an elementary school. I was about to ask you, like, do small children bounce their balls off of him, or?
I was gonna say I'm not starting that rumor. He's like 5 times bigger than me.
Well, come on, go on Twitter.
He'd read my soul on the crapper.
Now, there's also new promotional material from TNA on their No Surrender pay-per-view, as they're saying Kurt Angle will take on Jeff Hardy, and it takes place September 5th from the Impact Zone. And it says, for the first time ever on pay-per-view, Kurt Angle versus Jeff Hardy, only one will survive. Well, let's hope it's Angle.
If Jeff Hardy wins that match, I probably will never watch TNA again.
Now, they are advertising
I wouldn't mind if Jeff Hardy, like, you know, squeaks out a surprise win on TV, but not on this card.
If
they're advertising
it as
the first time.
If only one's going to survive, it's going to have to be Angle. I guarantee you, Jeff's heart will blow up before the end of it.
Jeff Hardy will cleanly pin Angle, and everybody get walk out.
It'll kind of look like Shane McMahon wrestling Kurt Angle. It's just going to be Jeff Hardy getting ragdolled all over the building.
Let's all pray and hope.
At least he won't feel it.
Well, they're claiming this is the first time on pay-per-view between the two. However, it was found that Angle and Hardy's first meeting was on June 18, 2001, on an episode of Raw. It was a King of the Ring tournament match. Angle defeated the then light heavyweight champion Hardy with his ankle lock, and that's where you should have stayed, in the light heavyweight division.
Well,
because they eliminated the light heavyweight division. They should have eliminated him, too. Bastard.
Oh, they should just put him on Superstars with Carlito. And keep him there. Nobody's worried
about him. All I can say is, where's Tomko? Tomko equals ratings.
Amen.
Unfortunately, you can't see me roll my eyes because we're on the radio.
Well, you know, it's funny. Superstars actually gets around like 700,000 people watching it every Friday or Thursday here.
Yeah,
really?
Canada
yes.
on Sundays on a channel
yeah,
that half the people don't get in this country.
What channel is it
yeah,
on
it
anyway?
Picks up
it's on WGN Canada.
Yeah, I don't get that one.
Yeah.
Oh wow, you guys get Cubs games in Canada?
Yeah, we do. If you got fancy
cool.
cable.
Do you guys watch the Cubs lose all the way up there?
Yep.
Eat me, Maze. I will say the last time I turned on a Cubs game, it was entirely my damn fault, but I jinxed the fuck out of them. I turned the game on. The second I turned the game on, Colorado takes a 2-0 lead. I'm like, see, the second I turned the game on, I fucking jinxed them.
Stop watching.
Wait, Tom,
I got a
quick question for you.
Yeah.
Are you jinxing them like 2 out of every 3 days right now, or what the hell's going on?
Oh, no. No, it's inexplicable what's happened to him this season. I can't believe we spent 18... I almost missed Kerry Wood compared to Carlos Zambrano. He stabbed the whole organization in the back. He's a mook.
Well, the fact we have a Canadian team that's doing half decently in there and the Cubs are sucking hind tit, it always makes me feel good.
The thing I can't figure out is why the hell the New York Yankees wanted to carry Wood. That son of a bitch doesn't need a World Series ring. He just needs to fucking leave.
Hey, all I know is...
Overpaid, broken-ass mother... Deep, oh.
Last
they
time I
checked,
all I know is... Cardinals were in first place.
Again,
just for a while.
I would be happy with third place at this point in the fucking year.
You were in third for a while.
Yeah, but now we're in danger of being tied with, like, freaking Milwaukee or Pittsburgh or something.
Oh, God.
Jesus, no.
What's my response?
Probably Davidson's even thinking about leaving Milwaukee. That's how bad it is. That was actually in the news today. Harley Davidson thinking about leaving Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Well, I've never, ever, ever, ever met someone that's actually admitted to me, I'm a Brewers fan.
You know, I have never seen anyone wearing a Brewers hat or a Brewers jersey.
I don't think they sell them.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, the Cecil Fielder jerseys, you know, it sleeves 3.
Oh, man. But let's get back to the show, gentlemen.
Wait, real quick. Real quick before we get into the four-corner conversation. I was going to make a fat joke about Cecil Fielder. Cecil Fielder is so fat, it'd take an Eric Montgomery to play him in the biopic. And the reason I bring Eric up is...
Yes, you'll enjoy this.
The reason I bring this up is Eric brought this on himself.
As usual.
I was on Facebook doing some promotional work for the show this afternoon, and I saw where Eric Montgomery and Derek A. Montgomery were both attending the same event. I'm like, don't tell me there's an evil fucking twin. I won't know how to act. So I got to looking, and basically he has 2 separate Facebook profiles because apparently he's just that damn popular. Both profiles put together aren't even like a third of what I've got on my page. I'm not trying to brag. I'm just stating fact. But I was like, this is the perfect fat joke, and Eric wrote it himself. Eric Montgomery is so fat, it takes 2 Facebook profiles to confirm his appearance at an event.
He's that big. Well, I think it's probably because if you block him from one, he can still harass you with the other.
Yeah. It's like he's so fat, it literally takes more bandwidth to get him out there.
That's usually the way it works. So if you want to talk to me, sweetheart, I'll just keep on emailing you.
Well, put him on X-Peeps again. That worked out great for him last time.
But we'll finish up some TNA news here real quick. Of course, this whole Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, the match that everybody wants to see. Ric Flair and Shane Douglas.
Who the hell wants to see Shane Douglas?
Yeah, hell yeah.
What blaspheming motherfucker done said that?
They had, you know, heat for a number of years. And
I'd rather you bring back the Yeti than Shane Douglas.
Oh, I've never been a fan of Shane Douglas, but this is actually a real-life hatred that they both have. And, of course, Flair, it's not gonna work. It's not going to happen. Of course it doesn't. Because, you know, in this business, dream matches, you know, how often do we actually get the match we want? When it finally happens, they screw the pooch on it with a disqualification ending or some shit.
Or Goldberg-Lesnar.
Yeah, and then the other half time, the guys won't commit to it. So... And finally, the reason we're not going to use the word kayfabe on here, because kayfabe has now been replaced with the letters NDA.
Oh.
That's right, folks.
Well, it's easier to pronounce, really.
Jeff Jarrett wrote on his Twitter page in regards to hints that he was dropping about a big surprise from TNA, saying, I will state this again. The reason there are no hints for a while, a NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, was signed. This makes me sick. What happened to the old tradition of just keeping your mouth shut and not spoiling the surprise for people, the fans and stuff like that? Now they have to sign them to a non-disclosure agreement just so you won't go on the internet and tell everybody who's showing up or what title is going to change or this or that. For God's sakes, really? This is why wrestling is not exciting anymore. Used to, you had to tune in to see what would happen. You don't have to anymore. You just read what they tell you what's going to happen beforehand.
Yeah, I wonder how many
people figure out whether their viewership's down.
I wonder how many people proclaim themselves insiders or wrestling experts because they follow Twitter pages.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the pay-per-view will be good, but they got to stop giving shit away. Oh, and that's both companies. Stop giving shit away.
They're giving it up like a debutante after four wine coolers.
I mean, you know, will Shawn Michaels retire? Yeah, because he's done been on the fucking, you know, radio program saying he's leaving after WrestleMania. You really can't justify the hype if we already know the answer. Fuck. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But it's time, gentlemen. It's time. We're going to return to the four-corner conversation I asked you guys to come up with your top 10 favorite Shawn Michaels matches. Now, you can go back to his AWA days. I don't care. It didn't have to be, you know, anything. And of course, the good doctor dropped the ball. He's only got...
You'd be lucky if I get five tonight.
You'd be lucky if he gets five.
Sorry, I'll make up for it, right?
I know. Mike has 12 because that's 12 is 10 in Canadian.
Damn exchange rate.
But I'll go ahead and go first because while you guys are doing it, I actually have something else. Now, an honorable mention was Shawn Michaels versus the cardboard cutout of Diesel. the Heartbreak Hotel segment. I think that was some of Diesel's best work.
Well, the time you didn't lose money on him.
Yeah, bastard. But number 10 for me, In Your House, October 96 against Mankind.
Woo!
That's when Mankind went head first to the table. WrestleMania 19 against Chris Jericho.
Yeah.
Great match. Number 8 was the 95 Royal Rumble match, where he hung on by 1 foot. The Hell in a Cell against The Undertaker in October 97. Special because I was there. The ladder match for the Intercontinental title against Razor Ramon, WrestleMania 10. Against Triple H, SummerSlam 02. WrestleMania 20 against Triple H and Chris Benoit. Uh-oh. Can't say that name.
Can't see that. What the hell?
Number 3 was against Flair in his retirement match. Number 2 was against The Undertaker at WrestleMania 25. And I still believe number 1 was the Iron Match with Bret Hart. Take that, Kevin Nash.
Hey.
Wait, who are all those people?
Kimmy, just sit down. Just sit down. And we'll turn it over to our Canadian friends, Mike and Dave, and then we'll let Tom go last. Maybe he'll pick up some notes.
Yeah.
From our suggestion.
I'm just going to say my first five are based on an average of y'all's first five.
I kind of figured.
Yeah.
So I just got to come up with five now.
But if you gentlemen, the floor is yours.
All right, I guess I'll go first then. And actually, I picked up one more. As soon as you popped in the word AWA in my head, I thought of one. I'm only going to mention, I'm going to get this out of the way right now because I don't want to fucking really say it, but I got to say it because it was a hell of a match regardless how much I like him or not. Monday Night Raw, HBK versus Cena when Raw was in England, when Orton couldn't make it out, when they went at it for half an hour.
There, yeah, I didn't want to put Cena anywhere in this.
Well, it just shows how much HBK could carry somebody in a match.
Yeah, it certainly shows his skill.
Exactly.
That's true.
Honorable mention, Triple H at SummerSlam 02, the unsanctioned match. And I'm going to probably piss a few people off here, but Flair at WrestleMania 24 only made an honorable mention for me.
Really?
Yeah. As much as the circumstances behind the match were, overall the match itself was, it was a really good match, but I just didn't feel that, I felt the circumstances overcame what the match actually was. So, all right, number 10 for me, I'm going AWA here, the Rockers versus Playboy Buddy Rose and Doug Summers, the whole feud that they had.
Okay, see, that was number 5 of the 5 I could think of.
Sorry, Tom. All right, number 9 is versus Randy Orton at Survivor Series 07 when the super kick stipulation was put in.
I forgot about that one.
He basically, they turned that stipulation into the match, and Michaels did a hell of a job of selling it while not selling it and had a hell of a match there. Number 8 for me was versus Jeff Jarrett, In Your House 2, 1995.
Oh.
When these two went at it, it was... Jarrett was the pompous ass, and Michaels was the constant athlete, and it seemed both of them switch roles for that match.
Hmm.
Sorry, I got to go old school there. Number 7 versus Kurt Angle, WrestleMania 21.
Oh, damn it. I knew I forgot something.
Hell of a match there.
Yeah, that was a very good one.
See, now I'm down to 3 because that'll be my number 3 on there, so now I've only got 3 to come up with. I'm going to get out of it this week, Maze. I do have 2, though, I can go with. I do have 2 choices.
Number six, WrestleMania 19 versus Chris Jericho.
Yeah, Maze, where was your mention of Chris Jericho?
9.
Oh, okay.
number 5 against Razor Ramon, WrestleMania 10, the ladder match. And the subsequent ladder match at SummerSlam later on that year.
See, I thought about that one, but I thought... Well, actually, it wasn't later on that year. It was in 95, but... I just thought the second one wasn't as good as the first.
Wasn't as good, but you could tell that both matches overall, if you put them together.
Together.
Number 4 was Undertaker at Bad Blood 97, the Hell in the Cell match, because Michaels got the absolute shit kicking of a lifetime and still kept it kicking. I have never seen anybody in a match actually get worked over that bad and still come out. Did help that, you know, somebody showed up and all, but number 3, I have Austin, WrestleMania 14, because Michael sold that stunner to save everybody's life. And okay,
yeah,
number
that match that match was good, but both of them were going in there with severe injuries. And his back
and
Austin's neck, so
The fact there were all those injuries actually moved it up for me. I had a little lower on my list, but the fact they could work through it, and honestly, I'll never forget that sight of Michaels taking that stunner from Austin just before Tyson makes the count. Looked like he got shot out of a cannon.
Cold Stone, my homie Tiger.
Now, just because I didn't want to be completely biased... And the reason that I am not a Shawn Michaels fan per se is my number 2 pick, the Iron Man match with Bret Hart.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if he screwed Bret or Vince screwed Bret or what. You were willing to take part in it. You took the belt and ran. You could have came out in the ring and said, sorry, I don't want to do this, but I digress. And my number 1 pick, obviously, WrestleMania 25 against The Undertaker. Well, it's just like how he described it in his pre-match amble heading up to WrestleMania 26. He wrestled the perfect match outside of one move. And that match was absolutely spectacular at 25.
Would you be referring to the cameraman move?
Yes. Well, no, his one move that he screwed up.
Passion of Sid Snuka.
What he did, he ended up skeing the cat there, and Undertaker caught him in a tombstone. That's the only move he screwed up the whole time. But I digress. There's my list. Dave, got to help Tom out here. Let's get some numbers here.
Let's see what I can do.
Oh, you guys have already named my first eight for me, so I've got two left. I already know what my two are.
Oh, fine then. Well, in that case, I'll take the list all on my own. Ha. For number 10, though I will give a couple of honorables right off the hop. Number one is Michaels versus the One Man Gang in World Class Championship in 1985.
That's old school.
So, yeah.
Yes.
And it was...
That was as vague as a Family Guy reference. Well done, sir.
I also give him credit for the match prior to the Montreal Screwjob at Survivor Series, because it was a good match. And if they had done it as it was originally told to Brett, it would have been a fantastic finish. As it was, well, we'll leave it alone. for the top 10, Michaels Razor at WrestleMania X for the ladder match, because it was a good match, and frankly, I was young enough that I wasn't quite so jaded.
And Razor Ramon was still sober. Enough.
WrestleMania 19, Michaels Jericho.
Get those Canadians in, attaboy.
Naturally. And then we followed it up with an American, Michaels Angle, at 21.
Amen.
Michaels Triple H, Hell in a Cell. I'm not naming reasons for most of these because, frankly, they've already been hit. Michaels Triple H, Hell in a Cell, Bad Blood 04. Here's another one for you. At Madison Square Gardens in 1989, the Rockers versus the Hart Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Followed by a personal favorite, the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels ladder match at Superstars in 1992, because it was a good match, as well as being the first ever WWF or WWE ladder match. We got what do we got? Michaels.
Was the one with the Hart Foundation? Is that the one where Demolition come down?
No, I don't believe so.
Okay.
I hope not, anyway, if that's the one I'm thinking of. What else we got here? Actually, I was watching the last pay-per-view there, and Rey Mysterio came out in a little black outfit. Kind of reminded me a lot of Demolition. Looked a lot better on them.
Trial-sized Demolition.
Yeah.
It looked like the Hornswoggle version of Demolition.
Exactly.
He ordered it from their kids' magazine.
He was Demolition Squirt.
Disturbing. Anyway.
Also starring Kim Kardashian.
Oh, please.
And her big ass.
No, co-starring the Bella Twins, I'm sorry. They are remarkably plain, as Will Ferrell put it.
Yes. Where are we? Michael's Undertaker with the career ender at last year's WrestleMania. Because although... I did know it was a great match, and although I did know the outcome, fuck everybody and their dog knew the outcome. I was honestly still on my feet for a few of those false finishes. Yeah, I know. I still get to set aside reality from time to time. It's fun.
we'll go
a year earlier with the Flair Michaels career ender. Wasn't the greatest of matches, but the emotion alone took it for me. Right up until, you know, Flair's Australian tour. Michael Benoit Triple H at WrestleMania 20.
He's almost waiting to see the Looney Tunes screen of Flair pop out. You didn't really think I was really quitting, did you?
Bidi, 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 bidi. Not done, folks.
Well played, sir.
Who believes the retirement story in wrestling anyway? What's wrong with you kids?
Not me, baby. I retired and I stayed retired. I'm only 34, but let's be honest. I'm a wreck.
Retired 20 times already. Come on, my car's been retired 20 times already. Flair can surely beat that.
Terry Funk holds the legend.
There you go. So WrestleMania 20 with two of the greats and Triple H.
Indeed.
Finally, because I have to, back to the Arrowhead Pond in Anaheim in 96 for the Iron Man with Hart at WrestleMania 12.
Here.
Okay, and I'm just going to throw out three honorary mentions. The first one has to be Shawn Michaels versus Tony Leone on AWA, because that's the epitome of ESPN Classic right there. They're announcing Shawn Michaels as the Central States Rookie of the Year, and he looks like he's about to shit himself, and he's wrestling Tony freaking Leone.
Not Tony Leone, yeah.
And you know that great AWA broadcast team just took the match home on their own. It's one of those great classics when everybody was like, you watch wrestling? Seriously? And when you look back, you kind of go, yeah, I watched it.
I don't know how.
Lord James Blears, that's all I'm going to say, man.
Yeah.
Worst announcer in wrestling history. He makes Shavani look like he's calling the World Series. Oh, my God. Nothing was worse, though, than the horrifying episodes when, for whatever reason, they would let Donna Gagne do play-by-play. Or no, color commentary. She always did color commentary, and I was like, oh, Lord.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
You look like Shania Twain's high school senior photo, and you're trying to call a wrestling match. Sit down, shut up.
Sometimes when they let Mike McGurk talk.
Oh, God. don't you chew food on the air. Timmy's looking at me like it's like I was suggesting ritual murder. Like, don't you chew food on the air? He's like, no. Like, you wouldn't believe how many times this happened to us, especially with Eric.
Oh, no.
Oh, good.
It sounds like a bulldog eating ice cream.
This is the second time Dairy Queen's fucked me in the ass.
Oh, no.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll teach you anything other than soft serve.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you're right. I did lose Tara and Licks.
They might be busy.
They can't have the hot lesbian action here on our show? Oh, look who just joined us. We've been talking about you, Eric.
But go ahead with your list, Doctor.
Oh, geez, that was my first honorable mention, of course. Yes. My second had to be Shawn Michaels and Triple H.
Triple
H. The midgets when they venture to the under-the-ring world of the little people.
Oh, the court.
Oh, Jesus.
Because my personal favorite is when they blew the under-the-ring world of the wee people up, Looney Tunes style. Raw hit an all-time new low.
And then kept
like, it. Only if they had Santino Marella busted Hugh Grant style with a transvestite hooker.
No.
By Gene Okerlund.
Fuck.
Could it have been worse? Killing you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Oh.
But my number one honorable mention has to be Shawn Michaels versus the little girl whose French fries he fucked up.
Nice!
When he was working
tater
in the cafeteria.
Tater tots.
The tater tots.
Yes, tater tots.
I was a fan a little earlier in the segment.
Because nothing is funnier than a 7-year-old kid getting kicked in the face by a grown-ass man. I took the test on Facebook. I can take like 35-year-olds in a fight, so anything's possible.
Bring it.
I was a fan of the Dukes. A couple days earlier. Like, Sean, they say you're predictable. Predictable? You, what's your name? Jimmy? Look, I just super kicked Jimmy. I'm not predictable. It was beautiful. Not quite as good as the little girl, I admit. You win, Tom. But it would have been better if he called her Jimmy. No? I'll shut up.
Oh, no.
Anyway.
So the hooker says, swear to God, I'll give the money back. Wow, that's pretty much killed everything, didn't it? No, Casey Carnage, I'm the script killer. Apparently I shot this in cold blood, Russian execution style.
Well, we got 9 minutes, so go ahead.
Oh, no, that was my list right there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You guys did everything, so I was just left with honorable mentions.
Okay, well, good picks, gentlemen. I cannot believe I forgot Angle and him at 21. The hell? It's been a long day.
Shawn Michaels versus the memory of his Playgirl spread. That's another honorable mention.
What was I thinking? Oh, man. As always, thank you, gentlemen, for hanging out with us and doing that. It's always a pleasure. And we got some weird news this week.
Don't we always?
We do. We're going to start off in Texas because it's hot down there. A naked, 47-year-old man was taken to an El Paso, Texas burn center after friends won a bet and got to set his prosthetic leg on fire. The fire then spread to his body. The man admitted to police that he had lost fair and square by downing only six beers.
You mean alcohol was involved?
Yes.
I'm stunned.
Really?
In June, two 34-year-old men in Horsham, Australia, underwent surgery as a result of a plan that they hatched during a drinking bout. They both wondered if it hurt when you got shot, so they decided to shoot each other.
Wow.
Alrighty then.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Darwinism misses again.
When you thought they said brains, you thought they said trains, and you got the wrong line.
Rage real quick in the chat room. I have to tell you a thing about me in the air was nothing bad. to recap, Eric, I was laughing over the fact that you have two MySpace profiles.
No, don't recap. They can go through the archive.
Oh, yeah, go through the archive. Thank you. I don't know what I was thinking.
Actually, you have the next...
It's not really bad, but it was funny.
You have the next weird news, Doctor. I knew you'd find this one interesting.
Oh, yeah, I love this. you know, although 85% of Americans are covered by health insurance, in Rwanda, 92% of people have health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
In the country's 11-year-old socialized system, everyone pays $2 a year, obviously just for basics. However, Rwandan's main health problems are easily treatable. Infections, malnutrition, malaria. Malnutrition? Rwanda? No.
No.
No, never.
Unsafe childbirth and not expensive diabetes, obesity. How can you be suffering from malnutrition and obesity at the same time?
No, no, no.
Make up your mind.
No, no, no. These are the problems in America. This is what they're not.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. But yeah, what was that say? With more people in Rwanda, that third world toilet have more health coverage than America.
We have expensive diabetes, obesity, and cholesterol clogged arteries. Double down, baby.
We have more meth addicts.
There you go.
Meth addicts. No, because they just burn themselves to death in their own house cooking.
Yeah, they need to give more meth than to the right people. Like Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus needs a meth addiction.
Like that meth commercial. Little Jimmy got to see everything he lost.
Okay.
Well, you've seen the commercial where the guy's walking through the museum of everything in his life he's lost because of meth. I'm like, well, how does he remember?
Yeah, no shit.
Yeah.
And does he have teeth? Because if he does, I can bullshit.
His first thought is, I wonder how much I can sell these pictures for. I wonder if there's any copper wiring on the floor underneath me. Are there bugs on me?
Is that basketball just talking to you two?
Oh,
but,
my goodness.
But, yeah, you got the next two, and then I'll end up with the last one, and you can run off to get probably the cold war started.
Indeed. Now, of course, from Florida, because, well, when stupid doesn't feel like living in Mississippi anymore, it heads to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
A 24-year-old man was arrested in Crestview, Florida, in April, after allegedly removing a window air conditioner and crawling into a house in which his wife was staying. They had recently separated, and he told police that he had not gotten any in 3 weeks and was going to get some. I think they should have let him go.
I think they do, yeah.
If you go through all that fucking trouble to get some, you ought to get some.
Can't rape your wife.
It's not rape, it's surprise sex.
Thank you, Mr. Dingles.
Surprise, it's in your ass.
Yeah, Eugene's going to debut at TNA Wrestling. He's going to be Special Ed. We're going to team him with Doug Williams. Does that seem familiar? And to wrap up my stint here on the show this evening, Courtney Bradley, 21, of Oskaloosa County, roughed up a driver while the car was moving, making it swerve wildly, thus allegedly endangering her baby in the back seat. At the subsequent traffic stop, Bradley allegedly told officers, "My expletive family is one of the richest around, and we'll have y'all's expletive jobs."
Rednecks.
Mmm. They must sell affliction shirts in the Panhandle. Bully for them.
Oh,
well,
my.
Mr. Mays, I will see you in 5 minutes for probably uncalled for.
Yes, indeed. Gentlemen, always
Mike
a pleasure.
Mike the ref. Dave.
Pleasure. Pleasure.
Cheers, Doc.
Indeed.
Oh, and while they're jumping off the interwebs to start up the next hour here on Free Reign Wednesday, I will leave you with the last of the weird news. Mr. Harry Jackson. Yes, you heard that right.
Great start.
26 was jailed in Georgia back in March on several minor charges, such as driving on a suspended license. However, acceding to pressure from his fellow inmates, he was brought on by the jail's non-smoking policy. Mr. Jackson agreed to break out of jail, steal cigarettes at a nearby convenience store, and then break back in undetected. He was told by the other inmates, "Don't come back empty-handed." He was apprehended climbing back in over a fence.
Huh?
Yes, indeed. Only in Georgia, folks, did you break out of jail, steal cigarettes, and break back into jail. Mm-mm-mm.
Must have been scared of the big boss, man.
He was sentenced to 20 years for burglary, and he also had charges on the escape. So, law and order. Mike, Dave, always a pleasure, gentlemen. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Oh, yeah.
Can I get a cheap plug for 1 sec?
Sure, go right ahead.
Hey, everybody who's in the chat room right now and everybody listening, stop in on my show on Sunday, The Blown Call with me, Mike the Ref, 11 p.m. Eastern. We're going to be on right after the Hardcore Justice pay-per-view, and I'm sure we're going to talk about that. And on top of that, we're going to have the top 10 do's and don'ts of when you go out to go watch the big game or the big pay-per-view at the bar or at the lounge. 10 things you should do and 10 things you shouldn't do. It's going to get rather interesting. So please stop in. The link's in the chat room for you guys.
Awesome. And for those of you that hang out with us as well, thank you very much for staying with us. And remember, hour two starts in 3 minutes over at blogtalkradio.com/probablyuncalledfor. The link is in the chat room. So Mike, Dave, Stimmy, Tom, always a pleasure. Everybody else, thanks for hanging out. This is a production of Free Reign Media, all rights reserved. And remember to check out our website, freereignmedia.com. With that, this is P.B. Dingles reminding you to let yourself be entertained. Don't leave the spoilers, and I'll see you all right here next week with an all-new episode of Inside the Squared Circle.